Welcome to the Crime Phenomenon and Beyond podcast, and prepare yourselves for the fuckery.
I love when they...
Wow.
That nasty bastard.
I know.
Oh.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Who got me a nipple belt?
It's a good little nugget.
Brown chicken, brown cat.
Oh my god.
Canadia.
You got dickheads.
What the fuck's a modus operandi?
I got nothing.
Maze balls.
What in the actual fuck?
I don't fucking know.
Maybe it's cause you're ugly.
You gonna wake up dead.
1-800. Fillet that dick.
The fuck?
I shit my pants once when I thought I was gonna fart.
I fucking hate you.
There's the bullshit.
And here we go.
Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm Sam.
I'm Amanda.
And we are going to stem off of Killer Kids. Is that how I want? Yes, because I was like, is that what I want to say? I don't know. But anyway. So
Murderous Muppets.
Yes, of course. We couldn't just, you know, tell about them. We needed to know more. And I'm so glad. It's terrible, but I'm so, so glad that I dug further into this one.
I'm excited.
Yes. It was either Killer Kids 1 or 2, but Amanda got really excited. Well, not excited. She was very hostile, not knowing why somebody who couldn't listen to music and got in an argument got in an argument with Dad and ended up axing the entire fucking family.
I mean, wouldn't it just be Dad? Dad's the one who told you to stop.
Dad's dead. Nope. Yeah. So, but anyway.
What kind of music were you listening to?
Was it punk. It was punk rock, okay? And here's the thing. So,
I feel like most punk bands are mild. I don't know how else to put that. Like, I don't know. I was punkish in high school and I didn't.
Well, I mean, in this,
ask anybody or
so
beat
this
anybody?
Was 1988, okay, but I don't really know what kind of music. It was just, he loved his older brother, his name was Joe. He was not living at home during this time because Joe and his dad had actually gotten in a huge fight, and their dad was like the type of person that thought, you know, if you didn't like bend to their expectations and what they want you to do, you were done, you were out of his life. And they kicked Joe out of their house. And he was glad to because But where is it? I tried to look more into this and there wasn't a whole lot of information on him. I actually found a lot of information after I found the Otis Brothers obituary.
Oh.
Yeah, so unfortunately he died from cancer. But
damn.
So, the two parents, it was Bernard and Paulette Brom, super religious, Catholic church, don't fuck with Catholic parents. Joe, since he liked punk rock and he would not conform to, like, their standards, they actually committed him unwillingly to a locked psychiatric ward at St. Mary's Hospital.
Shit!
For unspecified illness.
Unspecified illness.
Yes.
His illness is he's rocking out too motherfucking hard. All right. The fuck?
Unspecified rock banging. God, that sounds fucking bad.
You mean head banging?
Rock, I was going to say, shut up.
He's
I don't know.
Rocking too hard.
He's rock banging, okay? He's banging the fuck out of that music. No. Anyway, so I sound stupid, but either way. So, obviously, Joe moves out, and David actually looked up to him a lot. Like, he...
Aww.
And Joe was like, he was just the rebellious type. Had dark hair, you know, wore makeup, had their dark clothes, all of that crap.
And that sounds about right.
So, when Joe, you know, leaves or gets kicked out...
Gets fucking committed.
Fuck you, Dad. No wonder. I ain't crazy. I just like music. My bad.
Shit.
Gosh.
Open your mind.
So...
And your heart. Sorry.
So after the Otis brother is kicked out of the house, Dad gets like way more strict. Like, okay, guys, this one, but that was a bad apple, okay? We didn't know what the fuck we were doing there. Now we know you're
we
not
know
doing
shit. We know it ain't happening again, bitches.
You ain't doing nothing. So, like, David was depressed. He missed his brother. He was now having to do all these extra chores because Dad thought, you know, making a boy work, we'll keep him honest, blah, blah, blah. God, that's such a subtle thing to
say.
I know, if you're too busy doing shit, you ain't got time to do shit.
Exactly.
That's right. Yeah. So, obviously, he ends up suffering from depression, and it built up over years. After Joe left, two of his close friends ended up moving away, so he attempted to actually commit suicide twice. In June and September of 1987.
You know, I would typically feel really sorry for him, but I know how he ends up, and I find it hard.
Yeah. Well, of course, everybody in town, you know, thought, like, the family, the Brown family, was just...
Too much?
No, was just
like, chill perfect. The fuck out?
Oh. No, they was just perfect. They, like, there was nothing wrong with them, and David was a nice kid, and his parents were awesome, you know, whatever. And... Like, Bernard even, like, made sure that him and David spent time together trying to bond. Like, he had bought a car that him and David could fix up together. So that they could spend time together. Yeah.
It sounds like he tried to do all the right
things. I know, he was trying to be a decent fucking parent. I mean, okay, it's strict. It doesn't seem like, you know, he beat the fuck out of him or anything. He, like, most of the, you know, serial killers and stuff that we learned about, they were abused as a kid, whatever.
Right. It wasn't, no, you can't listen to that band.
Yeah. So, I love that I had a delayed reaction. I'm like, you're right. No, we don't like this band. I bet that's exactly what Dad had said when they were fighting. No, David, we don't like this band. Can't listen to it. And it was... But Dad, why?
Daddy, no.
Dada said, no, boy.
God, give me that record.
Give me that VHS. No, that's a movie. Oh, God. Dang it. I was going to say an 8-track is what I was trying to say, because that was before a cassette tape, right?
Isn't an 8-track a cassette tape?
No, it's a bigger. Like, you had to have... It's like a floppy disk before the SD cards came out. It was a bit... Nothing. Never mind. Doesn't fucking matter. This conversation did, in fact, never happen.
There's no record of this.
So, on February 17th, 1988, David and his father had, like, a massive argument about basically him missing Joe and wants to be able to act and do what he wants, you know, more like Joe does. Yeah, so they get an argument. Daddy's
probably like, not under my roof. Sorry, that was my very Catholic dad.
In Jesus' name, I tell you. I like that you say Catholic.
Someone told me a joke the other day, and it had me laughing really hard. Probably a little harder than I should have.
How inappropriate was it?
I mean, it was fairly inappropriate. So, what's the difference between a Catholic birthday and a Catholic funeral?
Catholic birthday and Catholic funeral? What's different?
What's the difference?
I don't know.
One less drunk person?
I was going to say, what is similar? We're going to get drunk.
I would like... to let you all know that this was a Catholic woman that works at my children's Catholic school that told me this joke, and I laughed hysterically.
Me and God laughed together, okay?
We did. We all had quite the chuckle.
Gosh. So, on February 17th is when the argument happened, okay? Late that night. Well, David decides that he is just too fucking angry to sleep, and about around, I don't know, 3 a.m. in the morning of the 18th, he decides to, you know, creep through the house and slaughters his entire family with an axe.
That's the part I don't understand. I don't get it. I have questions.
Yeah.
So many questions. It's an axe. I mean, was it one whack and you silenced the first victim? Or was there, like, a struggle? And if there was a struggle... Why isn't someone else reacting, intervening, doing something? I don't know. Okay. Go ahead. Give me the deets.
Oh, I will on the bodies in a moment.
Oh, shit.
So, he kills them, waits until early morning, drives the family van to his school, okay?
So, he's going to school like normal.
Normal, because he goes to school. However... He grabs one of his friends, who will later testify, and they go skip school together.
That's right, I remember that.
Yeah. So, Okay, I was looking at my notes here.
Her notes are horrible, by the way.
They're great for me. You don't understand them, but I do.
I don't.
My brain's like, I don't fucking understand it either.
He's putting shit together.
That's right.
Kind of.
God, all over the sofa. Okay. It was on the back of this paper.
Oh,
sorry.
Dear God.
You're right, it was all shit. But anyway. So, it was about 11:30 that they argued. We're at 3 a.m. He kills the entire family. I just want to throw out there was almost 60, like, blows from an axe total throughout the family. 60 of them.
60 whacks.
60 whacks.
Spread throughout the family.
Yes, four people.
Four people.
Mm-hmm.
Four people.
Four. It was mom, dad, brother, and sister.
Holy fuck. Yeah. I did not realize he was, like, one of that many.
He literally axed the entire family. Other than older brother Joe. And Joe wasn't living there, so.
Fuck!
And Joe liked to rock out to all the good songs.
He did.
So, yeah. So, this is when...
I really want to know what music he was listening to. Like, I
don't know.
I want to know. What set you off, bro? Like...
Actually, I had the article somewhere. It is a certain band because they even wrote a song after they learned they were listening to their songs.
Oh.
Yes. It was something I had never heard of. Like, nothing was familiar. Nothing was.
So it ain't even good? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I didn't try too
ain't
hard
even that
to.
Good. Like a local band that he was obsessed with that sucked ass.
It would
maybe
be like
dad
if somebody's
and the whole
like,
family was annoyed.
Well, you know, if somebody killed him, it was like, it's because I heard about it on this podcast. Somebody's like, what podcast? What fucking podcast?
What?
And it was ours. And everyone's like, nobody's heard of it. Y'all
Nobody knows about that. And God damn it, when you play it, I want to stab myself in the fucking ear.
I know. Little dramatic. What was his name?
Muggy. It was Muggy Marty.
Marty, yeah.
That's right. Marty.
Dick
Our first review
that came to us. And I was like, oh, shit. Well...
And he actually wanted to stab himself in the eyes. I don't know why he wanted to stab himself in the eyes.
I know.
Because then he could still listen to us.
I know.
Anywho.
We're funnier in person anyway.
We are.
Stab your eye. Anyway. So, he's at school. He finds a friend that, poor thing, will end up testifying against him.
I mean, thank God.
I know, but it's like, hey, bro, so, guess what? Nope, too bad.
Axed my family.
Axed my family. Had a long night. Oh, my God. I
like, LOL.
Up. Let me write in my journal. Like, oh my God, I totally can't believe it. Sorry, I totally got distracted.
We did.
Again. I know, it's awful. Can't help it.
God damn it, meh.
I know.
Meh.
Excuse me?
I don't know if that's your new name. Meh.
Meh. It's bizarre. No. Yeah, bizarre.
Bizarre. It's totally bizarre.
Don't mind me. It's bizarre. Anyway, so he meets that friend, tells her all about it, whatever.
Oh, to her.
And she ends up going back to school. So during that day, they kind of bump around, go to a pizza shop,
They bumping uglies?
Bump around.
Bumping?
No, they wasn't.
Bumping. No?
No, they wasn't bumping dirty.
I have to admit, it'd be kind of hard to be like, you know, fuck me after.
Well, I mean, if they did, he didn't say it, which he hasn't said a whole lot since getting sentenced. But anyway, we'll get there. So, during that day, after he drops, you know, girlfriend off, he goes, withdraws money out of the banking account of his parents, goes to the store. What does he buy? Hair dye and makeup.
Are you fucking serious?
And clippers, like hair clippers.
I don't understand. Is he rebelling now that there's no one to fucking rebel against?
He went home, shaved the sides of his head, and dyed his hair black, and then put on makeup. And he got out and left again, okay?
Wow.
So, remember
body's still...
Oh, yeah. Body's still staying chilled. Thumbs upstairs. We don't care.
God, I hope you left the air on.
Well, it was winter.
It was in February. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think, where are we? Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah. It's
somewhere.
Chilly.
Yeah. It's a cold place.
They're
matter.
Chilled. It's fine.
Their totally
bodies are
chill.
On ice.
They are, look, pristine. Anyway. So, he dyes his hair, blah, blah, blah. Well, and this time that he gets money and does all this, girlfriend already left. It's not his girlfriend, but his friend already went back to school. Well, guess what?
She's blabbing.
Well, yeah, rumors started circulating, and next thing you know, police officers are getting a call from the school's principal saying, there are rumors going around about the Braun family. Can you do, like, a welfare check on them?
Motherfucker ain't at school today.
Like, he ain't school. Somebody seen him with a
fucked
up
haircut. He's truant. Go get him.
He had his fucked up haircut. Eyes colored in marker. Don't know what's going on. So, two of the Olmsted County sheriffs.
Damn, it must be a big county. You got two sheriffs?
Well, so one arrived and then the other one.
One plays good cop and the other plays bad cop?
They show up to the house, so it doesn't matter.
I got
it.
Okay.
Dead people don't care what cop. Okay?
They don't give a fuck.
So, anywho, they get a call around 5:23 p.m. on the 18th. And it was a house, like, out in the middle of nowhere. Like, it's...
So they live on
property?
It's
not out in the middle of nowhere, but they live where... It's, like, surrounded by woods. Almost like it would be at my house, but, like, back in the woods where you think it's, like, down in the... What'd you call it?
Holler.
Holler down the holler. No, it's not a holler. It was a field. Simple as that, Amanda.
Oh, shit.
So...
A bunch of trees in that field. When I see field, I think fucking you can look and see for miles. Like, maybe a few scattered trees.
In the woods? Okay, in a field. Field, okay. And I said they were woods, and you said holler. Holler is down, like a dip in the woods. Like,
I mean, we might have went down.
Shut the fuck up. We ain't in no holler. Back to the story. So, these police officers get there, okay?
Uh-huh.
There's fresh snow on the ground.
Oh.
The police officer notices that there's a set of tire tracks that come up and down the driveway.
Oh.
He talks to the neighbor nearby. And, you know, nothing concerning. They hadn't seen anything concerning. Hadn't heard from the family either, so don't really know anything. So, the second deputy arrives, okay? And that's when they walk up the driveway. And they followed footprints, like, to the garage and into the garage through the service door.
Okay.
The garage light was on. The deputies could see, like... wet tracks like that a vehicle had been in and out of the garage recently. So they were like down at the bottom of the drive.
So he's not home right now.
He's not home because he took the family van. So they end up going in the house. They're calling out, you know, like, hey, police here, whatever. And they make their way through the first floor.
It's unlocked?
Out of the side, like the garage service door, yes.
Okay.
It was unlocked.
I can say it's weird for police officers to just kind of break into a house. But I get it now. I get it.
If I'm dead, please break in and find my body.
Yeah.
I'm fat enough. I don't need to bloat.
Oh, God.
God, that's awful. Anyway, so on the first floor, nothing's, like, out of the ordinary. All they see that they think is a little strange is a mess of black hair dye and shit in the bathroom.
Oh, God.
And they're like, what the fuck is this? Like, okay.
Somebody's messy.
They kept calling for names, obviously. Nothing happened. And they... So... The first officer goes to, like, go up the steps, and he makes it, like, 3-4 steps up, and that's when he sees, like, the, like, two sets of footprints, like, all they see, not footprints, feet, the actual feet, my bad.
Oh.
Like, they were up on the landing area, so at the very top of the steps, he could just see feet, because he was only, like, 2 to 3 steps up, and he could just see, like, right there, like, eye level.
There's someone.
There's feet there.
Or at least
there.
Feet. There's feet. Yeah. There's feet there.
Yeah. And he said that he could tell that they were obviously pale, not moving. And he turned around to whisper to the second officer, like, you know, there's people up here, like, down. Because they thought maybe whoever killed him was in the house already. So he said the stairway was very narrow. And he said that, like, it was, like, one-on-one. Like, they were shoulder to shoulder, like... to the walls. So it wasn't like if they hurry up and need to get the hell out, they were going to stumble over each other.
It sounds like it. I mean, if you're trying to take one stair at a time as somebody joined at the hip, which kind of sounds like what they're trying to do.
Like, don't leave me.
Arms interlocked, pistols pointing forwards. The deputies march up the stairs slowly. Okay.
I hate you.
I know.
So they finally get up to the top.
It took a while.
On the, no, I'm sure. Boop, 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 boop. I mean, I don't, like, I stomp like a fucking T-Rex, so it's not like, boop, boop, it's like, bum, bum, bum. If you're in here, here I am, come kill me. Yeah, it's bad. So, they get to the top of the steps, and he quickly, like, you know, like, peeks around the corner, makes sure nobody's there. That's when he finds all their bodies. Okay? I'll give you the detailed report of how they found the body and what the wounds were and stuff, because I got the wounds and, like, all the details of the body from the court in the autopsy report from court documents.
Okay.
But I was like, God, this makes no sense. But then when witnesses come through, they kind of explain how it went down because Big Ass literally gave fucking good details. Okay? And it all makes sense after, like, it puts the puzzle together. Okay?
Oh, so that's creepy. That's so creepy.
So between all four, they had anywhere between 54 or 60 wounds in all. Some superficial cuts, others huge gaping wounds.
It's fucking nuts.
Yeah. And there was multiple wounds that were considered fatal. Okay?
I mean, out of 60, I would assume so.
And I mean, and they're dead, so I mean,
yeah,
fatality had to happen at one point.
Fatality.
I mean, I don't need to be a coroner to let you know. I bet those were fatal. I don't need an autopsy. One of these hits was fatal.
One of these did the job.
One of these, yep, might have taken a little bit, but... So, here's how the bodies were found. Bernard Brum. He had a total of 22 wounds. The first blow had been... 22
out of 60.
Okay. 22, yeah.
He's got a lot.
So, the first blow to the head had been to the face. So, the side of the face, while he was asleep in bed... And at some point during all 22 blows, he was out of bed. Like, got himself out of bed. Not like, you know. So there was some struggle at some point. It wasn't all, oh, I killed him in their sleep, you know. Dead, 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 dead. No. There was some. Okay, so dead.
So 22 you say wounds. Side of head. Not. Yes.
So he had 22 wounds, six of them was to the back of the head. All six of those, obviously, were fatal blows. In addition, he had 11 blows to the back, one to his hand, one to his arm, and two to the side of the face. It doesn't get more details than that. I've looked everywhere. I don't know which side of the face, which arm, or nothing. But I do know that when Dad...
So he was...
When Dad's body was found, he was, like, in the master bedroom, but he was, like, in a squatting, kneeling position with one arm still up on the bed.
Man was just trying to pray. I'm just kidding.
He was getting up from that prayer. God, that's horrible.
That is horrible.
But, like, that kind of weirds me out. It's like, you know, you come in, you find not only dead people, but one squatting, like, on the side of the bed. One arm on the bed, squatting head forward, like...
And the majority of his blows are to the back of his body.
The back of his head were 6 and 11 to his back.
Back of his head were 6 and 11 to the back. It makes you wonder, like, how bad was the blow to the head? It wasn't enough to kill him because obviously he got himself out of bed. But it's like, was he already kneeling like that when fucking Dickwad came in there and just...
No, he was asleep. They were all asleep.
No. I mean, like, not when the first blow landed.
Oh, you mean, like, when he killed him?
Yeah.
I would assume the way that it sounded to me was that maybe Dad got up out of bed, and maybe when he got up, obviously, it's to the side of the head, so that already fucks with your vision. So, I mean, maybe he, like, got out of bed, you know, fight or flight. Kicked in, he gets out of bed, but then, like, he kind of slumps over to, like, try to catch himself.
Okay. I can see that.
Yeah.
And then that's where the rest of the wax came in.
Or I thought maybe, like, he had, like, David had came in and, like, while he was getting up out of bed or getting up, he had hit him in the back of the head, and then he slumped over the bed, and then he just kept hitting him in the back. And that's why he just kind of slid down. God, that sounds psychotic. Like, really, just, I know how this is. Oh, God. That's
fucking...
I was not involved in this murder.
Okay. Oh, God.
So
So that's dad.
Mom, her body. And again, we don't know what order anything happened. This is just how their body was found, but I'll piece it together in a minute.
So, Sam knows the order. She's building suspense.
I am. Bum, bum, bum.
It's killing me.
Forensic Files.
Oh, God.
Mason did that forever. Like, he would watch it, and randomly, I'd drop a can of soda. Bum, bum, bum. Forensic Files. And I'm like, what the fuck? Okay.
I'm like, drop the soda.
Okay. So, anyway, mother, Paulette, her body was found in the hallway, just outside of the master bedroom. She was in a flannel nightgown, lying in the fetal position.
So they were sleeping in bed together.
Uh-huh.
Dad has a shitload of fucking wax.
Yeah.
Shitload of fucking wax.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, rest assured that after the first whack, he probably said something along the lines of, ah! You know?
Yes. So, again, mommy is out in the hallway of the master bedroom, lying in the fetal position. She's on her right side, and I'll get to that. Sorry. She had a total of 18 wounds, okay? One solo, non-fatal blow was to the back of her head, which indicates that David had possibly hit her as she attempted to flee the room. Because she was not killed right away.
Jesus.
She had a total of 5 fatal wounds to the face and head. And then there was multiple other wounds on her upper left arm and shoulder. Okay, so she's laying on the right side in the fetal position, okay? And it's all the wounds are to the left, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
she's laying on her right side, all the wounds are to her left?
Yeah, she's laying on the floor on her right side, all of her wounds, like, the side...
So she's already fucking down, he's just whacking the fuck out of her.
So I can't talk you to think, you right okay, now until I finish.
Fine.
I have to finish.
I will try to keep my comments to myself.
Yeah, so sister.
No promises.
Diane, she was found in the hallway as well. She was kind of entangled in Paulette. Paulette's head was actually cradled in Diane's hands.
Oh my God.
Diane had suffered from 8 wounds, all fatal. They were blows, all fatal blows to her. 6 to the head and 1 to the back of the neck.
What the fuck?
I'll explain in a minute. Little brother Ricky, he was found lying in the fetal position on his bed.
Oh,
he was
my
clutching
God.
His favorite blankie.
Oh my God.
And he had 9 wounds total. 8 wounds to the head and 1 and upper body. And there was 1 deep wound to the neck that was proven to be done, like, post-mortem.
Oh, my God. How old was Ricky?
Oh, gosh.
I'm going to regret asking
this.
He had to have been. God, he had to have been.
Richard was 11. Diane was 13.
Jesus.
Yeah. It was crazy. So,
what the fuck did your siblings do? Or mom?
I don't know, but, well, okay, so kids at school knew that he didn't get along with his parents. He made several comments that they were arguing or whatever.
Oh, yeah, he was a rebellious little teenager.
Shit, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the day before the murders, he even made the comment, oh, my God, I'm going to murder my parents, or I want to kill my parents, something like that. The next day, when he goes and picks up his friend from school, who ends up, you know, testifying and telling him all this, that he tells her, oh, I killed my parents and my brother and sister.
No big deal.
And he was quoted saying, he said he hit his head, his dad's head with an axe, and he just kept hitting his dad, and his dad just kept on getting up.
Oh, my God.
And he also told her that he went into his parents' room first, killed his father, he attacked his mother next, then went to his younger brother's room, killed the little boy while he was curled up in bed, clinging to a security blanket.
Oh,
afterwards,
God.
Upon seeing his sister standing over their mother's body in the upstairs hallway, he struck out on both of them, finishing off his mother and killing his sister.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, first of all, why'd you go kill your little brother? Why? Like, okay, I'm sure maybe he was awake and had heard it all.
Probably.
But
he probably,
I mean,
thought it was a bad dream or, like, something. I don't know.
I mean, to be curled up, like, in a fetal position, like, curled around his, Flanky, that makes me so fucking sad.
That's how heartbroken.
And I'm sorry, but why, like, why did you give all those details? I mean, obviously, I feel like,
what the
fuck? I don't know.
Fuck.
Yeah. So, the police, you know, they're seeing this. Obviously, they leave. They start a massive fucking manhunt for him. And by this time, David knows that he needs to, you know, like,
sick fucking bastard.
Yeah. So, it was at 6 o'clock where they put out a nationwide alert for David, assuming initially that maybe he had been abducted or he was somewhere hurt.
Oh.
Yeah. And then, later that evening, Otis' brother Joe, who... Yeah, he was at work. He was, like, a cook at a restaurant that David had also, like, did, like, busboy stuff for. He notified them. There wasn't a whole lot of information about Joe's point of view or anything. Like, his reaction or nothing.
No, just fucking shock at first. Like, what the... My whole fam... What? And so-and-so's missing? What?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, not necessarily missing.
And it was during, like, around that time as well, David was actually spotted by a former teacher of his, but it said that he was at the Northgate Shopping Center, but his hair was a funny color and shaved different or whatever. She was almost...
Motherfucker went on a shopping spree?
I guess. At 11 p.m.,
that's what we do now? We kill our entire family because they don't like our music. We brag about it. We cut our hair and dye it. I mean, that is a feminine thing to do. I mean, I know that when I feel like I can't keep control of things, I change my hair. So, like, I get it, bro. But, like,
I understand.
You literally do all that, give yourself a fucking makeover, and go on a shopping spree?
At 11 p.m., the family van that he had been driving in all day was found at a Methodist hospital. So, overnight, police are following tips and searching, like, endlessly for David. And the whole time, David, poor kid, kind of feel bad. It was freezing fucking cold. I know, I shouldn't. But he slept all night in, like, oh, God, what is it called? It was, like, a water drain that's, like, not on the ground, but, like, God, it sounds so stupid. It's like a underground, it's a tunnel. It is a water drain, but it's like a tunnel. Like, I mean, Pennywise would probably live in.
Okay.
But it's, you know, concrete. It's not just like a metal tunnel up under. It was a massive fucking highway, okay? It's a big ass tunnel. Kids sleeping in it. It's February. Fuck off. I don't know. He spends all night out in the cold hiding in a hole. That's better.
Okay? There you go.
Yeah.
His hidey hole.
Yeah. So at 8:30 a.m. the next morning, David's actually spotted outside of or near the post office on a payphone. Back in my day, on the payphone, had to call collect, didn't have a quarter. So he's spotted, and the police are called. He's arrested. They said that obviously he was alone. He appeared super nervous and afraid, but was like, I understand, I'm being arrested, not anything. And they say, like, oh, he's, you know, he didn't resist arrest. He's, like, nervous and scared. And then he's immediately taken to the Olmstead County Court for a 15-minute arraignment. And that's when he appears completely calm, void of any emotions at all, as he is charged with 4 counts of first-degree murder and 8 counts of second-degree murder.
He's just not bothered.
Yeah.
How is it 8 counts of second degree?
I don't know.
I don't either.
So, like,
I mean, I don't oppose it. I feel like he needs all of the degrees of all of the different types of murders. I mean, what he did, holy, just totally fucking shit. I do not understand the sibling rage. I don't.
Yeah, so, I mean, the entire investigation took not even a full week because... Clearly, he bragged to people about it.
Yeah, and then I guess...
Then he's the only living person.
Right.
You know, it doesn't really sound good, even if, like, he saw him and ran away, whatever. He gave yourself a makeover.
You stole the van. You went shopping.
One thing he really didn't even attempt to do shit about, the axe.
Oh.
It was found, I think it was like a 20-inch axe or something. I remember seeing 20-inch. So I don't know if that's...
Oh my God.
Like length of the handle or the blade?
It's probably not the blade. I can tell you that.
Probably not, but I don't feel like 20 inches is enough to really get a good swing in.
I think it is. Yeah. 20 inches will work.
It's less than 2 feet.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway,
theoretically, yes, it is 4 inches less than...
Either way, this some type of sized axe was found in the basement of the home. Still completely bloody.
What'd you go to the basement for,
bruh? Got a full-on bloody handprint on it. With fingerprints, like, who's fucking... Like, didn't even try to wash it off. Didn't try to wash off nothing, didn't...
Wow. No shame.
None. So, I mean, there was literally no argument there. And, I mean, there was no evidence that, like, the defense could even, like, try to bring... Because, no. I mean, obviously, so clearly they were going to try to do the, oh, he's guilty, but it was by insanity, blah, blah, blah.
It's a little pissy boy gone mad.
Yeah, so before we get into the trial and stuff, I want to say that there was an auction held on the June 4th, okay, for the home. And all of their assets, okay?
Oh, my God.
Their house was valued at $120,000. It sold for $80,000. Somebody actually bought the family van for $2,900.
Wow.
There was no, like, trail of where the money went to. Did Joe get all of that? Did he, like, have a say in any of this? Like, what happened? And they, like, I mean, they had a lot of money, like, with their, like,
with their assets and everything. Well, and how would that not go to Joe?
I don't know. I'm telling you, there was no...
The only one living.
There was nothing on Joe about this. Just that the little bit of psychiatric, like, thing that he went through, nothing. There is nothing else out there.
I wonder if he just wiped his hands of it and just said, fuck it, I'm starting a new life elsewhere. Nope. Don't want any of the money. Don't want any... Uh-uh.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
I mean, in a way, he kind of was estranged. You said Dad kicked him out and they didn't have anything else to do with him.
I mean,
it is weird, though. Weird as shit. I mean, what'd you do? You sell off the murdered family assets and fix your potholes?
Yeah.
Where'd the money go? Did you open up a park? The fuck did you do?
Well, I mean, he didn't have too much fun because he died at, like, the age of 46 of cancer, so...
Oh, no, not him. I was talking about the city. Because we don't know if Joe got the money. So, if Joe didn't get the money and it went to the city or wherever, what the fuck did you do with it? What did you do?
What did you do, George? Where is your... Which way did he go, George?
Exactly.
Which way did he go?
Did you buy new street signs?
For real.
Okay. Place new park benches?
So,
what did you do?
Shut your mouth.
Okay.
Okay. Talk me into it. So, this is why the trial, like, all this, like, legal mumbo-jumbo, it sounds like Shakespeare, like, wherefore art thou gonna circle around the tree and go down the hill, up the hill, fetch a pail of water? I mean, it literally says the same shit, and then it's like, I go cross-eyed because I'm like, wait, who the fuck is saying what to who? I don't get it. So
I don't either.
The thing I saw, the whole court document, I knew nothing. I just got, like, the psychiatric, like, eval on it.
Okay.
But, and it was pointless anyway. But, so, basically, they want to try him as an adult.
Understandably so.
Yes.
Pretty adult, you know, fucking crime.
Well, they have to have two phases of the trial. One, that before the trials, let me just say this, okay?
Oh, God.
They want to try him as an adult, but They have to have hearings to determine if he should be tried as a juvenile or an adult.
Okay.
So the first one to testify is the first officer that was on the scene, and he talks about how gruesome and everything the murder scene was, the bodies, all of that. So if he is tried as a juvenile, this basically didn't matter, like, what he was guilty of, but he would be free by his 19th birthday.
Fuck no.
Yeah. So, and what sucks is, later that month, Judge Gerald Ring had to, like, he said, we're gonna, you know, charge him as a juvenile.
I'm
no,
sorry.
No, not because he wanted to. And that's the thing. He didn't want to do that. He thought he should be. But he could not say, we're going to try him as an adult because he has like strictures like that he has to follow. And like he didn't agree with it, but he like Dave, there were certain like aspects to like you must be this age with that and blah, blah, blah. It's almost like I told you with Craig Price. Like they had to... Like, in, I think, Rhode Island, it so, didn't matter the age. Like, if they were a minor, they could not be charged.
What the fuck didn't match? Like,
I don't know.
What in the shit? How? That's, oh my God.
He was tried
as a fucking juvenile?
Listen, Linda.
Oh God. Listen.
So... This judge, like I said, he did not agree with it. He hated that his hands were tied, basically. He was getting death threats. He's like, I can't. Like, I cannot. Like, it, I am not. It's like, I cannot trach somebody or whatever because that's above my scope of practice. Yes, so. Anyway, eventually, it was such a big deal. Supreme Court overturned the decision and it was decided he was going to be tried as an adult.
Thank God.
So this is where the trial goes into two phases. Phase one was to determine if he had actually been the one, if David was the one to commit the murder, if he was actually guilty of murder. Yeah.
Totes.
And then phase two would determine if he actually did it or if he did it, but it was all mental health. So insanity, basically. Yeah. So, like I said, all evidence. I mean, defense had nothing against it. None. Phase one only lasted a week. The jury deliberated for 4 hours and obviously found him guilty.
Definitely fucking did it.
Yep. Four counts of first degree murder.
Yep.
So, this is how shit gets weird, okay? And anything with mental health, I feel like, is. And especially back then, but I feel like... It was really, I don't know. I don't know how I want to say my thoughts on this. But either way. So in phase two, they enlisted three psychiatrists. One, the prosecution pulled. One for the defense and one for the court. Okay? So they all testified on David's mental health status at the time of the murders. So basically, and what they... They have to go against, like, these psychiatrists have to go against a rule. It's like a whole, like, an old standard. I think I read, like, 140-year-old standard, and it was called the Nagatin Rule. This, under the Manhattan Rule, basically, all defendants, unlike, you know, today, everybody's innocent until proven guilty, all defendants are presumed to be sane unless proven at the time of the committed crime, the defense state of mind caused them to either, one, not know the nature and quality of what they were doing, or two, they knew what they were doing, but they didn't know that what they were doing was wrong. And I just want to say that it was it 140-year like way that they... go with it, it had to be broken down, okay? And this is where I was like, wait, what do you mean? Because it sounds like the same thing. Like, they didn't know that the nature and quality of what they did or what they were doing. What does that even mean? And then, obviously, they knew what they were doing, but they didn't know it was wrong. So it's like my kid saying, fuck you, and being like, oh, I didn't know that was a bad word. That's not knowing it was wrong because, yeah. So nature and quality of the act, apparently... refers to physical nature and quality. So basically,
fatal. Sorry.
So it's of the act rather than like moral quality. So I mean, like what I think is morally right, you might not think.
Okay, so this isn't about right or wrong.
Right. So like it's not okay, did I know this was right or wrong? That is the second part, okay? So you have to either decide that it went against... Let me just read this, okay?
Okay, okay.
So the two most commonly used examples. One, person cuts a woman's throat under the delusion that he is cutting a loaf of bread.
Okay.
So
he's committing a heinous act, but not aware he's committing a heinous act.
Yeah. So, if they don't know what they're doing, they don't know what they're physically doing, then that's, they didn't know what they were physically doing, okay? So, then they know what they're doing. So that there shows that the other example. So, a person chops off a sleeping man's head because he has the delusion, the idea that it would be funny to see the man looking for his head when he woke up.
Oh, wow.
So, he knew he was cutting the head off, but yet he didn't know that it was wrong because he thought it would be funny when he woke up looking for his head, not realizing that he would not wake up.
So, he knew what he was doing, but he didn't know what he was killing.
He didn't know what he was doing was wrong.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, reading it like that, yeah. So, not knowing the nature and quality of what they were doing. So,
no, I think he knew the nature and quality.
I think he knew all of it. Yeah. But this is how they try to rule somebody insane. Yeah. So, then they had this argument like, okay, the word wrong, like acknowledge that the act was wrong. So then they had to go through it. And then finally, basically, instead of one of these two, they decided on this is how it is these days, okay? As a result of mental disease /defect, a person lacks substantial capacity to know or appreciate that the conduct is wrong if the conduct is either, one, against the law, or two, against commonly held moral principles, or both. So, and I say moral principles is, it has to be one or the other. Basically, it doesn't have to be both of these. It has to be one or the other, or both. It can be both.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
My brain feels like mush.
I know. That's how it was trying to read all the legal mumbo jumbo.
God.
Yeah.
So what was their outcome? Oh, God.
I mean, it was obvious that, you know, David clearly wasn't right in the head.
I mean nobody. We all know that, but how the fuck did the courts rule?
Yeah.
I'm just curious because, you know, they don't always do what
they found him mentally competent. Like, there was only one psychiatrist. One of them, like, the other one was a forensic psychologist. He testified that David had been suffering from visual hallucinations for years and that he had alter egos, three different distinct personalities that he attributed to the murders. He attributed the murders to a psychotic episode that transpired by two failed suicide attempts the previous year. Yeah. And so he took the anger out on the delusion that since he couldn't kill himself, he might as well just kill his dad because he was, like, he's the problem.
His family.
And instead of, so I don't know where dad got killed in it all.
What the fuck?
Yeah. He done wound up dead. Yep.
I don't like this kid.
Yeah, well, you know, gosh dang it, we're, don't.
There we go. Don't like him.
So, ultimately, he was sentenced to 3 consecutive life terms in prison.
Just 3? What, the fourth life didn't matter? Fourth life he extinguished? Little Ricky?
I don't know how they do this. Listen, do you want me to lie? Oh my God, he got 4 consecutive life terms in prison.
I wish! It would sound better. It would make me feel better.
I mean, well, there are four lives that were extinguished. It only makes sense.
Well, do you want to know what's even fucked up?
Oh, God.
Life term. Technically, it required him to only serve 17 and a half years for each of the life sentences. So, total, he has to serve a total of 52 and a half years before he's then eligible for parole.
And
when
that's
he'll be close
exactly,
to 70 years old.
Exactly why they should have said four life sentences for the four fucking lives he took.
Well, do you want to know why he did it?
Oh, God.
He's literally never said. He never testified, never made an official statement, never did anything.
He's never told anybody why?
Nothing. He's never done an official interview either. It's been 35 years, and even on the 35th anniversary, every news article I read on had said that he denied any interview with them, even to this day. He meets with one person, which was his sister's best friend at the time.
Wow.
Yes, and she is totally saying he was not in his right head. This was not David that I knew. Like, he was mentally ill. He was not in the right state of mind when it happened. And the only thing she said is that he says he misses his family and wishes he could be with them. And that is it. And she said that he has never brought up, like, anything about the murders, and she's never felt comfortable asking him because she believed no matter what the ordeal was, he didn't mean, like, it was not him. He was psychotic at that time.
But she's the only person saying that?
Yeah. Ooh. That was in the 35th year anniversary article I read.
35 fucking years, and you're the only person to come forward and say that he was not in his right mind.
I don't know. I'm sure other people have, but she was the one that the article was on. Because I think she's the only one that's actually, like...
I mean, I didn't hear any stories about him being ostracized in school or people saying that he was weird or psychotic.
No, everybody liked him. Everybody said he was super kind. People even said that he was so kind, and in plenty of, like, live footage, he can be seen holding doors open for, like... jailers and stuff, like, in the court, like, holding a door open for people. Like, saying, oh, excuse me, here, you can go there.
Wow.
They said that he was very, very kind, that he wasn't violent, that they only knew that he wasn't getting along with his parents because he would say that. But nobody else, like, any friends came over, they did not see any difference, like, did not see any tension between him and Dad. She even said it's the friend that even said, like, they were close. Like, Bernard bought him a car so that they could fix up together. So that they can bond. And
it is weird. God, that is so weird.
Yeah. And, I mean, they just argued. There was no physical violence. There was no...
They disagreed. They mm-hmm. argued.
It was like his anger... with his dad was all based off of Joe's experience between him
right.
and his parents.
And what his parents probably got way more strict, you know.
And I said that.
You did, yes.
I was like, I kind of said.
But, I mean, he probably had a lot of resentment towards them.
But, I mean, he got strict. However, and he made him do a lot of chores.
He was still
however, he
good
still got him a
dad,
car to be like, hey,
right.
you know, you've got to work for, you know, what you get, and...
I don't understand.
I don't either.
It makes you wonder if he really did have a lapse, but then at the same time, I don't know if I could call that, like, insanity. You know what I mean? I don't know that you could call it that. Like, it was his entire family that he just murdered. He literally laid in bed for hours, angry.
I think he did it just in a fit. Well, it can't even be a fit of rage because he had time. There was at least 3 hours from, like, when the argument ended to when he killed him.
Yeah. And, like, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't get it. Like, I think he knew what he was doing. I think he laid in bed. I think he was angry as fuck, and he let all of his emotions kind of build up.
And then he decided to act on it.
I mean, yeah, honestly, I think the fact that he left the house in time to go to school.
And the day before, he said he wanted to murder his parents. Like, this was something he was thinking about.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't insanity. It wasn't psychosis.
And, like, it was just anger. I mean,
he was angry.
But that's the thing. He didn't just snap because, like, I don't want to say it was premeditated, but yet.
Kind of.
I feel like he definitely knew that in order to kill his dad, he was going to have to kill the entire family.
Shit.
And the fact that he got up that morning, went to school, decided, hey, let's skip school because he saw a friend. And he had his parents' van. Let's go do this. And he didn't go out and, like, just do something weird or anything. They went to eat pizza. They went to the grocery store. Went to the store. Went, you know, random places. He withdrew money. He bought the stuff to, like, dye his hair and everything.
It's almost like he wanted.
Why would he not leave town? He had a vehicle. He had a vehicle hours, like, in access, like, hours before police even knew to go check up on him. Because they didn't go in and, like put out an alert on him until 6 p.m. that night.
Good God.
And the fact that he went back home. He wasn't scared to go back home to the bodies. He went back home, did his hair and everything.
Dyed his fucking hair, exactly.
Like, shaved the sides of his head. I mean, that's why I say mental health is a mystery. There's too much unknown to say, like, really justify what, you know, went down or what happened. And I know we joke about being schizophrenic or people and, like, you know, can only be cuckoo for
a time. We talk a lot of shit.
But, I mean, I do know somebody who is schizophrenic, and they are very aware that they are. They are on the medication. They do weekly, counseling, you know, therapy appointments and stuff. And, I mean, they're doing amazing. They also remember.
Live a normal life.
They also remember when they were not okay. And that there was no control of it. And, like, hospitalization after hospitalization, and it was something, because I mean, you know, I just think it's crazy. I mean, I know now that I'm very aware of my mental health, but 5 years ago, you couldn't tell me that I was bipolar or had, like, bipolar tendencies or, you know, severe postpartum depression. It took me forever to even admit to that. But it's like once I started, like, doing therapy and, like, my medication, literally, I have, like, I would never want to just go off of it.
Yeah, I don't want to go off mine either.
Never.
I tried once.
Nope.
Very bad.
I would not even try.
Very, very bad road rage.
I will say I'm a drug addict to my medication. My mood stabilizer, literally, I don't want to go back to that. I was not a nice person to my kids. Like, my kids could not, like, say, hey, Mom, and I'd be, like, it would overstimulate me and I'm learning that now, too, like, loud noises. And I know, like, okay, I'm overstimulated. They just need to say, I'll be like, hey, you know, can you not yell that? Okay, I get very overstimulated, and I try to say, hey, can you just give me a minute? But then I'm like, that's a good thing to be a mom. But then Mason and Bailey with me at Walmart that time. And I was very overwhelmed, and we got in the car, and I was like, guys, just give me 2 minutes of silence. And then I hear Mason, or like, and I was like, Mason Thomas, please. And Bailey's like, Mom, he's choking. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, I'm so sorry. And he was like, and I was like, you okay? He was like, yeah, it's fine. And I was like, oh, my God. I was like, Mason, please. And Bailey, thank God. Mom, he's choking. I'm like, ah.
He's about to die, Mom.
But I, instead of, like, there's no outburst. And, like, if there is, it's, I know, I'm aware of that and everything.
Right.
But, like, back in the day, no. I just thought it was being a mom, you know, and getting annoyed.
Right. I feel like there's a lot of people out there that feel that way.
And, yeah, and I'm so glad that, like, I got treatment before my kid, before I.
Traumatized your children?
Yeah. I was going to say ruined my kids, but.
Yeah. Oh. I feel like there's so many people out there about our age thinking back on our moms and dads and going, fuck.
And that's when it happened. Yeah, gotcha.
Exactly.
And that's where that came from.
That's what that was.
Honestly, doing this podcast and doing one of the episodes really, and it's one that bothers me. I don't want to say I have triggers, but it literally opened my eyes because that person's personality matched somebody that was a big part of my life. And the way that it all happened, I'm realizing now that, like, some of my issues, like, with people stem from that.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So it's nice to be aware of it and to, like, kind of relive that. But
hindsight's 20/20.
And the thing, so I meant to tell you this forever ago when we were recording, but speaking of that friend who is schizophrenic and they're getting treatment and everything, we spoke not too long ago, and their fear was that they didn't have insurance. Like, their insurance just cut them off without them knowing. Did not have time to, like, really reach out before. It wasn't like a warning, like, hey, you will, your coverage will end at this day. It was just, you don't have insurance. Oh. So, yeah. And insurance covered these therapy appointments and stuff. And
yeah,
it wasn't like, oh, here, you get so many refills. It was, there's a very strict, you know, standard of when and what and all this. And they were, like, they were scared that they would not be able to attend.
Get their medication
and attend their therapy. And they were doing so well. I mean, good things was happening, like, in their life. Like, they, it was a shitty time to be stable and then to say, oh my God, this is great. And then
we're
to be like,
take away all these things that are helping you.
Like, we know that this is a struggle. And, you know, if not on these medications, you could be a harm to yourself or others. Yeah, so it really bothered me. And I was like, you know what? If we ever make money off this podcast, I would love, or if we could even, like, I would love to do, like, a charity, a foundation or something to where it goes just for donating money for people to, like,
get their fucking
meds. Mental health. Like, I don't care if it has to be through my psychiatrist only, because my insurance don't pay for shit.
I don't either.
They don't pay for mental health.
I got some shit ass insurance.
Yes. And
shit ass.
I will say I've been very lucky. I mean, we are not rich, but we have definitely not been without, like, the means
the
to
needs.
Yeah. And, like, in my, like, therapist, she is amazing to say, I understand you don't have the money. That's fine. We will do, like, over the phone. Like, we will just communicate that way. Like, we don't have to do an initial visit. Fine. That's great. Yeah. That's a lot.
That's
so,
kind of phenomenal.
So, that would be an amazing thing. I just don't know how I would ever go about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
that would be something to look into.
I have two people, that person and then another close friend who have mental health, but, like, it's the whole cost of just getting an appointment.
Oh.
Is stopping them.
Yes. Yes.
And that's fucked up.
It's completely fucked up.
And I have another friend who has tried to get a provider, but yet nobody takes her insurance and nobody, like, in order to be seen, they have to, like, go through this huge long waiting list or whatever.
Yep.
For just for insurance to pay for it.
Jesus. Now, healthcare in this country, like, in general, sucks ass. So much ass. Like,
yeah.
I think I'm sitting on healthcare's face and they're just sucking the shit right out of my asshole.
Yeah. I mean,
that could be why my butt's chapped.
Oh, dear God. Well, the friend that I was so worried about that was not going to get the care they needed, I was like, I promise you. I was like, pay out of pocket or get a bill, whatever. I was like, I will pay for it for you. I was like, please do not. Like, I mean, and I don't know them that well, but it was the fact that I would have loved that somebody was, like, telling me how serious, you know, mental health is and all of that.
Yeah.
And I was like, seriously, I was like, do it. Do whatever you gotta do. They bill you. Let me know if they make you pay out of pocket. Let me know. I was like, I don't know how, but I will. I was like, I will do a GoFundMe. I don't give a shit. I will go to OnlyFans and post pictures of somebody else's body.
Oh my God.
Anybody but mine. Unless they're into jiggle jiggle.
I mean, some people are.
I mean, I ain't got no moves to really even make it enticing, so.
I mean, don't do videos, just do pictures.
I was trying
she
to
She contemplated think. It for a second, y'all.
I was thinking, like, pictures of what, though?
Oh, come on!
My belly button? My butt? Does my face need to be in it? Like, do I need cute underwear? I don't have cute underwear. Like, are they booty shorts? God. Granny panties okay? Like,
I ain't got no cute underwear. In fact, a majority of my underwear have holes in it right now.
Okay, listen.
It's highly embarrassing. And it's because of that motherfucking corgi right there. He seeks out my underwear. Seeks them out, Sam.
Maybe you got a stinky butt.
I don't know.
All I know is I had to wear a pair of, like, cute underwear. Like, not, like, overly sexy, but, like, booty shorts. But they were lace. Had to wear them to work because, for whatever reason, I had no underwear. Don't know where that's going. I guess my ass is blowing out of all of them. But I wore them to work and... I was just like...
Those damn things were rude, weren't they?
I was like... I didn't even like say good morning. I was like, I just need to be honest right now. I'm not comfortable. I was I am very uncomfortable because I have underwear just trying to slide places. And they're trying to caress my body. I don't want to be caressed. I was like, I don't want caressing. I was like, they're too nice to just take off and throw away. I was like, oh, I keep free ball in here.
And I can't go without underwear. Like, I can't do it.
Understand. Thank God my pants were, like, more fitting, so they kind of kept my cheeks, like, encased in the silk.
That's good.
Yeah.
See, I don't have much of an ass, so it's like my underwear doesn't have anything to grip onto. It just kind of rides up straight into my crack. Like, my butt's always hungry, goddamn.
Get you some boxers.
I used to wear boxers. I'm not kidding, you know.
Like they the briefs?
Have, yes, boxer briefs. I used to wear those. Hanes. Hanes made the cutest fucking boxer briefs for girls when I was in high school.
Okay, boxer briefs for girls is not the same as boxers.
Yeah, they're not. They weren't men's underwear. But, yeah, boxer briefs. They were my shit. I loved them.
I think I got a pair at Walmart once.
Oh,
it was like a 3-pack.
Dude, but they were fucking glorious.
They were comfortable.
Right? Like, yeah. I'm like... pick up a pack. I don't know. I'm feeling froggy.
My booty is saying, hey, you know what's not so bad? Mine's like, fuck Please. You. Mine's like, fuck you. Stick to granny panties.
Oh,
we are not comfortable. They'll make you feel sexy. No, they won't. They'll make you feel pissed.
I just need something to say about my asshole, okay?
I love that this episode has taking a toll, a different toll, but I think it was good.
I think we've covered a lot of topics.
I like that we went from wanting to help people with their mental health and to get treatment, and then we're like, underwear up the asshole.
All up in there.
All up in the ass. Okay, anyway. That is it for today, guys. Until next time, don't be murdered.
Don't be murdered.
Yes.
Don't volunteer to be murdered.
Don't go to the Walmart and be murdered.
That's a thing out here right now. People are getting murdered at Walmarts. They really
are. Are they?
I mean, I don't know, but it's happened.
I'm a Walmart person, and my Walmart has, like, upgraded and has all this fancy shit, so I can't just, like, walk the aisles and know where I'm going. Like, I was literally in the pharmacy, and instead of going to the toy aisle, it was, like, boom, home decor. And I was like, what the fuck? And they have, like, models and, like, a whole setup. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
Uh-uh. Like, I'm going to need Walmart to stay the same fucking way it's always been. I need to be able to walk up in there with my fucking PJ pants, with my hair all fucking nuts, and a shirt that looks like it should have rotted off 15 years ago.
Well,
and I
next
need
thing
no
you know,
one to blink or bat an eye at me.
Next thing you know, Dollar General is going to be having Pampered Chef shit set up or something. It's going to be too fancy.
This is too much.
I had to get a pizza cutter the other day. It was $4.
No.
Yes. To cut pizza.
That's bullshit.
I know, but I didn't have a knife, and I'm not that, like, straight with lines, so I bought it, but can't eat uncut pizza.
I mean, no, I guess not.
Anyway, that's it for today, guys. Bye.
Bye.